Now he's 40. He shoots for goal and puts in another one. Who better than the Bullets? Bontempelli! Dogs are on fire.
Welcome to the Bulldogs Online Podcast with your hosts, Jacob McChrystal, Nathan John, Luke Parker, and Blake Gransbergen.
G'day everyone, and welcome to another episode of Bulldogs Online. I'm your host Jacob, along with my other two hosts, Blake and Nathan. G'day guys, how you doing?
Yeah, good mate.
Yeah, not too bad. You know, obviously on the weekend we didn't get the result that we wanted, but we're still sitting in sixth place, which is great momentum for the finals. Obviously we've got Collingwood this weekend, which a lot have seen as an 8-point game. You win that, you go to fifth, depending on other structures.
Week in review.
Blake, how was the Geelong game? You know, obviously we lost by 8 points and we've been smashed by Geelong the last couple of years. You know, what was seen differently and what was your review of that game?
It was a very, very scrappy game down at Simmons Stadium last weekend. Final score was 10-12-72 Geelong to 9-10-64 the Dogs. As I said, a very scrappy game for the whole time. Scoring was limited. We had some pretty influential players on the ground with Luke Dalhouse with a career-high 37 disposals and a goal. Jack McRae and Mitch Wallace continue with their impressive form with 29 and 26 disposals apiece. All in all, a very, very disappointing game because we had control of the play for a long majority of time throughout the day. But stupid little kicks inside 50 that kept getting cut off by the Geelong defenders and not going short and just silly little errors in the middle of the ground cost us in the end. What do you guys think of the game last weekend?
Well, honestly, because I was watching it on delay because I was working and I got two Western Bulldogs supporters as co-workers, and it, from them talking, it sounded like we won, and I was like a minute and a half left. We're down by 8 points. I'm like, you know, we're going to kick away, and the result didn't happen, but the one thing that's kind of frustrating in terms of a forward-based structure is that we're too selfless in when we're going forward 50. We're handballing the ball too much to get a clear shot. There was probably maybe three or four times where I saw some players do that quick little hand pass, then get into pressure when they could have just snapped across their body or they could have just done a quick kick into the goals or just into the forward 50 and then get a ball up. But, you know, Geelong is still Geelong. They're still a very good team, a lot of veterans, and we're still a young team. Obviously, you're going to have your ups and downs, and we lost on the weekend. But, you know, coming off four wins, you know, playing down at Simmons Stadium, which we don't have a decent record at, but obviously going up against Collingwood, you know, we really need to bounce back. How about you, Nathan?
Yeah, it was a frustrating game to watch because it was sort of like we were in it, but we weren't in it. Like, the scoreline was close, but every time we got too close, they'd kick away. And look, you could see, like, from the inside 50s conversion rate, I think we had 17 inside 50s in the third quarter for two goals. They had three inside 50s and had three goals. So it was just, you know, really poor efficiency on our part going forward. And as you guys said, like, the kicks inside 50 were just off the whole time. I think Jack Redpath had a kick for goal in the last quarter, and not to knock Red, because I actually thought he was one of our best out there on the weekend. Like, he was having a kick for goal, and he went short, and it was just fisted away, and Geelong had the play from there. So I think tune up this week and definitely try and bounce back with some better delivery inside 50, and it's a game that we can take a lot away from in that sense, as in we're probably better for the loss than we would have been if we'd scraped across the line again.
Yeah, because when you look at the terms of development, obviously still a very young side, third youngest team in the league. You're going to have those bad games. And I think the one thing that Bevo has mentioned, that we rank 16th in goal kicking. You know, that's the focus that we really need to work on, because we can't get lucky like a Brisbane game or a Gold Coast game where we just kind of switch on. When we go finals, that's not going to happen. You know, you need consistent scoring. You need consistent players popping up. And obviously, the blokes learned a lesson about what they need to do, the fundamentals. And, you know, Gio's going to definitely whip those boys into shape. But, you know, goal-kicking is very important. And speaking of goal-kicking...
Match preview.
Nathan, preview for Collingwood. You know, that's a game that we really need to win, because Collingwood are actually very good at scoring. You know, they're ranked one of the highest in the league, so...
Yeah, well, on that note, Collingwood haven't been much better than us this year, really, but they've been quite efficient up forward. And that's probably a benefit of a more mature forward structure, obviously. You know, we've got Travis Cloke, who's more advanced than Tom Boyd, and Jamie Elliott, who's more advanced than, say, Toby McLean. So they've been quite good going forward. But as you mentioned, goal kicking, it's Tory Dixon's 50th game this weekend, and he's got career figures of 74-28. So he's been a real weapon for us up forward. So congratulations to Tory. And we've got a few ins this week. No outs yet because it's a Sunday game and it takes a while for the extended squad to be cut back. But we've got Shane Biggs, who's been in excellent form in the VFL, coming in alongside Sam Darley and Michael Talia. Collingwood currently sit in ninth position with 8 wins and 7 losses, which is just the one behind us. They've had 4 losses on the trot, and they've got no Elliott, no Cloke, and no Adams. So it's a bit of a perfect storm for us if we want to rock up and play our brand of footy, play it on our terms, and tune up some of the mistakes that we were making last week. Obviously, we played Collingwood in the pre-season too. Had a 61-point win, which I think really kick-started the belief we've had this year, with after a couple of scrappy games against Richmond and Melbourne. So we've still got a few guys out, a few guys that we'd like to see in the side, like Joel Hamling and Fletcher Roberts, but I like to think that we're in a good position to win this one. What do you guys think?
Blake?
I'm not very confident this week. To break a little, you know, Bulldogs Online exclusive here, Jordan Ruffhead's been seen in a moon boot in the last 24 hours, which dampens my hopes of winning this game a little bit. Really, all we really need to do is just is to run and try and get our flow back, because we haven't had it for a couple of months now. Brisbane would probably be the game that we actually were able to get our game going. But since then, teams have been able to shut us down, not relatively easily, but have managed to stop our flow for a vast majority of games, and in some cases, full games. We have to try and get that the spread from the contest back, and the run on the outside going again, and even just picking out the short options in forward 50 to take shots on goal instead of bombing long to the tall targets in Redpath and Tom Boyd. Our small forwards are going to be very important in this game. Jacob, how do you reckon we'll go this weekend?
It's going to be really interesting, because when you look at Collingwood's backline, it's not as bad as everyone thinks. You know, they got Jack Frost, who's a lockdown player, Travis Farker, who's a pretty run player, Marley Williams, who's all right, but it's going to be interesting because there might be a possibility of Tom Boyd not playing as well due to his knee was heavily strapped last week, and obviously we don't want to risk him for a finals contention, because in terms of structure, he's dramatically changed our forward entry this year. You know, with him, you know, Tory Dixon won't be able to pop up, or Luke Dowhouse, etc. But the one thing that's going to be really frustrating is how they want to match up against Darcy Moore in the forward line, because Jordan Ruffhead could probably go with Darcy, but Darcy's a more athletic player compared to Jordan, who's more of a brute one-on-one. This would be the perfect game for Fletcher and Hamling to play in, because you have that third tall, but obviously we don't want to risk them, you know, with finals coming up. But it'd be more interesting to see if we bring in, you know, the Biggs or a Sam Darley to kind of bring that more elite kicking off the back line. But, you know, I reckon Bulldogs will win this game. I think we got the momentum coming through. You know, we're set for finals, and Collingwood aren't really set for finals, in my opinion. I think they're kind of in a mini-ish rebuild in terms of they might afford to lose 1 year just to kind of stock up and then go back at it again. But that's my personal opinion. What about you, Nathan? Anything to add?
Look, I think you're right there with Collingwood. I don't think they'll put the queue in the rack, because that's not in Buckley's nature, but they might just make a few little tweaks, little decisions to for development's sake, rather than rather than going balls out for that elimination final that they'll probably lose. So I'm not sure how they'll approach this match, really. I mean, they're obviously missing Cloke, they're missing Adams, they're missing Elliott. Jesse White's probably going to be their number one forward target, which is just terrifying. And it sort of is. I mean, I'm taking the piss out of him, but it's those, you know, dud second talls that tend to have their best games against us. But yeah, look, I give us a good chance of winning. And look, I'd be disappointed if we didn't, because I think, you know, we need as many as we can at this point in time to give ourselves that buffer against teams like Collingwood or GWS or North or Port, who are going to push for that position in the eight that we currently hold. And that experience for us being in that position is invaluable if we can make the finals, even if we get flogged. So, yeah, definitely a must-win game, and the club will be approaching it like that. So I reckon we'll win.
VFL update.
Speaking of winning, Footscray Bulldogs had their third win in the row on the weekend against Geelong's VFL team down at Simmons Stadium. The final score was 95-69, with the main goal kickers being Daniel Pearce kicking four goals, Will Hayes, VFL listed, kicking three goals, and Tom Sharp kicking two goals. It was absolutely a great game for Western Bulldogs' point of view because we really kicked out a massive lead in the second quarter, going up, I think it was about 25 to 30 points. And then Geelong really bounced back in the third quarter to really try to bring it close. And even though Geelong did kick five goals in that quarter, we bounced back and kicked two late goals to Tom Sharp, and I think it was also Daniel Pearce, and then eventually just controlled the inside movement with the football and controlled the contested football. And it's just full credit to the young leaders at the club. You know, Darling and Biggs had a great game. Darling had 25 and Biggs had 21. You know, Lucas Webb had 21, and Michael Talia probably had his best VFL game, in my opinion, with 21. Really, really shut down Geelong's key forwards. Obviously got caught out at one a couple of times, but, you know, in terms of development, he had a really, really solid game. And obviously, the VFL guys have been stepping up a lot, with Fogarty really stepping up as a vice-captain with 21 touches and 6 tackles, and probably maybe 4 to 5 clearances in the third and fourth quarter were really, really impressive. Blake, you also thought the game was anything really spot out for you?
Probably, he's a bit of a maligned player because he hasn't played for a long time, but Daniel Pearce really stood up in the game on the weekend. He hasn't played since 2012, and I was almost certain that he would get a go this week. Unfortunately for him, he didn't. But I reckon he's finally found his niche, playing as that half forward and rolling on the wing. It could be something that we could bring in later on in the year. It could be a real fire starter for us because he caught a light in the second and third quarters, kicking four goals and having a stack of possessions. I think he's in line to be elevated this year and play some meaningful games in the AFL.
Speaking about the elevations, we had a bit of word that, you know, Brent Montgomery talked about that Rourke Smith might be elevated. Obviously, he wasn't elevated, but he did hint at the possibility of him coming up. Rourke Smith, he is raw, but he's a very good player. He actually quite reminds me a lot of Dal Morris in terms of, you know, putting his body on the line, doing the one percenters, playing up against tolls that, like, a 6'4" bloke, and he's only, like, 182 centimetre. He makes every forward he plays on accountable for their position. He will die before he gives up his position in terms of the defensive structure. And it's just great that we can find these gems in the rookie draft and really develop them through our system of a VFL instead of, you know, relying on a Williamstown or a Werribee to really develop them. And again, as I've been harping on throughout the whole year, this Footscray VFL team has probably been one of the greatest things this club has invested in terms of the overall development of every player, because we're playing our positions, we're playing our game style, and we're winning games. You know, 9 VFL players that won the premiership are now playing AFL. It's just absolutely amazing.
Just on that note with Rourke, like, as you said, he doesn't give up his position, but he's actually pretty good the other way too. Like, his offensive running's just as good. Because his disposal's not too shabby on either side of his body.
I think the great thing is, because you got, Biggs coming off, who's a very fast halfbacker, then you got Darley coming off there, who's got great on both sides of his feet. Zane Cordy has really stepped up since coming back from his thumb injury. I reckon he's going to quote this now in the future. He will be the steal of that draft in terms of a Bulldog perspective. Even though Caleb Daniel, Lucas Webb, Toby McLean are really stepping up and playing AFL now, I reckon Zane Cordy in the long run would be that lockdown defender that we would have had in Tom Williams if he wasn't injured. That borderline All-Australian type player. Now, that's a personal opinion because I rate him quite highly, but that's that. And speaking of rating players, and obviously with Footscray winning, hopefully winning this weekend against Coburg at Piranha over at 2 p.m. on Saturday, we actually will push ourselves to second place on the ladder, depending on other results. And it's also great that we're stacking the VFL with more talent with Will Minson coming back from a quote-unquote shoulder injury, and also Mitch Honeychurch coming back off the back problem for the first time in about a month. So it's really great that we're really bringing these kids through. And obviously, Coburg have had a really up-and-down year, being 13th place, and I reckon Bulldogs are going to absolutely smash them at their home deck. And the best thing about, you know, with Footscray and the membership side, it actually boosts up our membership. So, Blake, I heard there was some really, really important news over the week.
Latest news.
Some very, very exciting news. It's actually more than exciting. It is bloody awesome news that we have beaten our all-time membership record of 34,842 set in 2010. Our current membership is 35,247 as of the 23rd of the 7th. Currently beating our old record by 405 and climbing. It's a massive achievement. It's something that I never thought we would get to. 35,000 members for such a small club. Onwards and upwards from here, guys. The future is bright, and it's only going to get bigger from here.
Well, it's just interesting you say that, like you didn't think the club could achieve it. I thought it was something the club could achieve, but certainly not this year. Like, if you told me last October that we were going to have 35,000 members by July, I would have laughed at you, because, you know, Ryan Griffin walking out, I mean, nobody cares that Liam Jones went, but he's another player that was 24 and, you know, should have been in his prime. Adam Cooney gone, you know, all these players that were so vital to our side have disappeared, the coach is gone, and we've brought in 18-year-olds, basically. And we're currently sitting in sixth. We've smashed the membership record. It's brilliant, really, and it's a testament to all the people we've got at the club now. And I wonder if there are a few people who left looking on going, well, shit, I wish I was a part of that.
Yeah, I kind of touched on this throughout the week with the Tom Boyd article that I wrote. It's just great that when you build a new culture around a great coach, and you know, the best part is, like, we still have the old coaches there, you know, the ones for the McCartney era. And that a lot of media speculations that, you know, Tom Boyd's going to cost players XYZ, you know, that's not the case. You know, you commit to a team, you commit to a culture, and it's just great that, you know, Peter Gordon, the head honcho, has just called every media and AFL saying, screw you guys, we're the Western Bulldogs, we do it our way, we're not going to give in to pressure, we're going to develop, we're going to get members, we're going to expand to Ballarat, we want a stadium, you know, we want a younger stadium. He wants games at Witten Oval, which in my opinion would be one of the greatest things ever. And this is 35 in about maybe 4 or 5 years would be like, oh, $35,000, that's cute. We might have that by January. You know, we might be 50, 60, 70 by the time.
Well, just on that note, like you're saying, like the Tom Boyd deal and committing to a culture, it's almost a point of smugness with me that, you know, they were telling us last October or November that it would cripple the club. And since then, you know, we've signed Sid, Fletcher Roberts, the captain, Bob Murphy, Mitch Wallace, Luke Dalhouse, Jake Stringer, Jack McRae. You know, there's an extension in the pipeline for Caleb Daniels. So it's something that's been touched on so much by the media, and it's just not the case at all. The club's united. The club doesn't care what Tom Boyd's being paid because they know it's important that we have him. And it's just fantastic to see. Like, the club's, you know, given the appeals to the footy world.
Speaking of, you know, all the re-signings, you know, Nathan, you know, apparently another one of our young guns re-signed this week. You know, any news on that, or?
Well, there's a bit of speculation around that three of our young draftees are set to recommit to the club. One's already done so, and it'll be announced soon. That's Caleb Daniel. And another two in Bailey Dale and Lucas Webb. And that's in addition to Mitch Wallace signing this week. And as I said, you look at all the players that have re-signed this year, and it's ridiculous. It's a testament to the work of Jason McCartney and Simon Dalrymple too, who drafted them and was mocked last November. So you look at what Bailey Dale's been able to achieve, Toby McLean, Lucas Webb, Caleb Daniel, and I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Declan Hamilton get a go at AFL level this year. So it's really impressive work by the club in all regards there.
Declan Hamilton is silk. He's that type of player, when he develops his body, he's going to be in the half forward or through a midfield, and he is just going to be the cleanest pair of hands you'll ever see. And he's going to be like Jack McRae. people will look at, you know, Liver, Wallace, Dowhouse, but he'll rack up maybe 20 plus touches.
And he'll be the one getting it from Liver and giving it to McLean and that. And one thing that he's also got that hasn't, you know, you touched earlier on the young leaders out there for Footscray, he's one of them already. And he was as shy as shy when he got to the club. He's been here 5 minutes, and he's a real leader out there for Footscray. He uses his voice like nobody else. He's not afraid of giving the senior guys a bake. So huge, huge first season for Deck, who's still pretty skinny, but he's doing really well.
And he can land a tackle. Like, sometimes when I see him tackling Tolan Bikes, I think he's going to break in half, but he sticks them. And, you know, we touched on this a little bit earlier, but, like, you know, Tory Dixon had his 50th, is having his 50th game this weekend. You want to touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, Tory Dixon playing his 50th game this weekend after being recruited from the Bendigo Bombers all the way back in the back end of 2011. We were discussing off air earlier about how good his conversion rate has been. And for all those stats buffs out there, 74 goals and 28 behinds is probably up there as one of the best conversion rates that there ever has been in AFL history. Going through this year, he's had 26 goals, 8. Last year, he had a shocking year with injuries, had a pectoral injury and then was nowhere near it, only had 3 goals, 1. 2013, 22 goals, 10, and then his debut season, 23 goals, 9. One of the best set shots that I think I've ever seen, maybe apart from Daniel G and Syracuse. It's full credit to him being a mature age recruit, being recruited at 24 years of age, and just keeps getting better and better every time I see him play.
I think another great thing about Tory Dixon is that he's really developed into a midfielder as well. He's playing off the wing. He's averaging 13.7 disposals per game, and he's actually averaging, I think, 2.3 tackles plus a game. And as Bevo said on the Channel 7, you know, it was the best 11 touches he had because he was just consistent, defensive running, and a very good link-up player. And it's just great that we can plunk a player from the VFL and he can go on and have a really good career. And obviously, Torrey's got a lot left in the tank and could easily get to 100 or 100-plus games and be a premiership player with us. Well, technically, he already is, because he won the VFL last year, but in AFL perspective. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, that's another episode of Bulldogs Online. I'd like to thank my two hosts, Blake and Nathan, for coming. And of course, go Bulldogs.